got Katie calling from Eugene, Oregon, listening on FM 94.9. Hello, Katie.
Hello. I just wanted to start off with, like, you guys are really cool, and I've been able to really grow in my faith and actually start evangelizing my friends from your answers. So really, honestly, thank you.
Thank you for your kind words. Yes, what's on your mind?
Is it all right if I change my question?
You can ask whatever you'd like.
All right. So in one reading, it says that wives must surrender to their husbands. But another one, it says we are all equal. So is there a way you could explain this a little bit?
Sure. It's submit, right? You're referring to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. And then, of course, verses of Scripture like Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 and following tell us we are all baptized into Jesus Christ, where there is no longer male nor female, bond nor free, Jew nor Greek, for all are one in Christ. So we have Galatians 3:27 appearing, right, to contradict Ephesians 5:22. What gives? Well, there's no contradiction whatsoever. What Galatians 3:27 is emphasizing is what you really find all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and following, that God created male and female in his image and likeness. There is an essential equality between men and women by virtue of the fact that we each share the same nature, that is a human nature. As such, we are absolutely and essentially equal. However, here's the key. Equality does not mean sameness. And this is a message that our culture needs to hear today. Our president, for example, I heard him not long ago say in one of his speeches that if you treat anybody differently than someone else, that's the source of all sorts of evils against people. We have to treat everyone the same. That, my friend, is absurd. We cannot treat everyone the same. Why? Because we're not the same. And not just men and women. We could go, you know, children, people with various disabilities. We're not all the same, right? So we have different roles. Now, we're gonna limit this discussion to male and female. But men and women have distinct roles in God's plan of salvation, in the natural order as well. You know, the man, let's look at the conjugal act, Katie. The man delivers the seed. The woman receives the seed, nurtures that seed, and brings forth life. Now, that's just in the conjugal relationship. We see a radical difference. This is not the same. Now, as you begin to dive deeper into what surrounds that conjugal act, there are all sorts of differences. It begins on the molecular level, right? XX chromosome, XY, right? The man has the XY, the woman the XX. We are different. Our body structures are different. Our psychology is different. All sorts of studies demonstrate this. And they are what the church calls complementary. It's not that one is better than the other, but that they are complementary. They each bring something crucial, and this is why, of course, you need a man and a woman in the raising of a child, because he needs to have the influence of both a male and a female. It's the way he's designed. He needs that. Just as mommy and daddy brought him into being in cooperation with God, he needs to be nurtured and nourished by mommy and daddy as well to get that, you know, that complementary perspective. Now, as we work things out in the natural order as well as the supernatural order, we see that men and women have different roles. God has equipped men for certain things that he has not equipped women for. You know, men are given testosterone. We're normally stronger. We're normally larger. Why? We protect. We go out and we provide and such. Women are not equipped like that. Men fight. We provide in that sense and protect. Women aren't designed for that. Of course, our culture has gone crazy now and thinking that women can go into combat and everything else and do everything that a man does, and it's simply wrong. What we're doing, we're handicapping ourselves. We're putting people into positions that they're not made to be in. Now, once you get to the wife submitting to the husband, there are profound reasons for this, because even if we were, Katie, to talk about a business, In any business situation, any organization, there has to be a head. In the family, there has to be a head. If you don't have a head, there's only two options. You're either going to have a headless corpse or a two-headed monster. I mean, there's just no other way. There has to be a head. And God has designed the family in such a way that the man is the head, the image of Jesus Christ, who is the head of the body of the church. St. Paul describes that in Ephesians 5:19-32, so that in the family, the man is the image of Christ, the image of God in the family. The woman is the image of the creation. She's the one, again, who receives the seed, not just physically, but spiritually, the word of God, and gives life to it in the family. The man delivers as the head in the image of Jesus Christ, you see. Now, in the family of God, we have an analogous situation. The father is the priest, right? We have lots of mothers in the church, but we also need fathers in the church. The father who delivers the seed, which is the word of God, the sacraments and such. But the mother who, in an uncanny and beautiful way, receives that seed and brings life to it. So we all have roles that are essential to play. One's not better than the other, but we need that complementarity of man and woman for there to be a healthy family. Does that help at all, Katie?
Yep, makes sense. Thank
you. All right, Katie. Thanks so much for your call. God bless you.